Listen up. Are you ready for the ultimate coding challenge? Here's a chance to win a Tesla Cybertruck or $100,000. All you have to do is build an app with a front end and back end and deploy it on WSO2's Corio, an internal developer platform. The more you do with Corio, the more chances you have to win. For all the details, go to corio.dev/cybertruck. Sign up, get started, and possibly win a Tesla Cybertruck or $100,000. Plus, 10 more winners get MacBook Pros. But hurry, because the challenge ends on April 30th. Good luck.
Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from the massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hope everybody is doing well. We are at the end of the first quarter of the year, the end of March 2024. Hope everybody's doing well. For those of you listening on Sunday or maybe Monday or Tuesday or whenever you listen to the show, most likely the Final Four will have been set at this point in time. Lots of interesting matchups, some notable upsets, and some new teams that are coming into the fold. So it's been an interesting tournament for those of you that follow basketball. Want to dive into today's Sunday Perspective is sort of an interesting one. And for those of you that are listening for a while or listen to Sunday Perspectives, you know that, at times I get a little bit historic. I try and put some context around some things. And I wanted to talk today a little bit about kind of what's going on with VMware and Broadcom. And I don't really want to get into necessarily like all the details. We've covered it somewhat on previous shows, on end of year shows, and so on and so forth. There's some things in the show notes you can dig into. But what I'm most interested in is sort of the mindset, and this would be one of those things that we, you know, sort of would love to have a conversation with the CEO of Broadcom. I doubt we're going to, you know, be able to make that happen. That's a difficult one to do, and they're, you know, most large companies CEOs, they're, you know, their communications teams are very specific about how they do stuff. So this isn't a knock on them at all, but I'm utterly fascinated with, and we'll get into the details in sort of after the break, but kind of the decision, the timing, the mentality of sort of the huge price increases that we're seeing that Broadcom is bringing to customers who were formerly VMware customers. And in full disclosure, both Aaron and I in our day job work for companies that have alternative options to VMware. I'm not going to spend a lot of time digging into those. Folks can dig into them. I can put links in the show notes if people care. You can shoot us a DM and we can explain that. The intention is not to turn this into a let's talk about alternatives to VMware or sort of bash what they're doing. I'm mostly fascinated in the idea of, you know, the dynamics between Broadcom obviously made a very, very bold bet, a $69 billion acquisition of Broadcom, started a couple of years ago, went through a lot of regulatory scrutiny. So the timing of it was probably not exactly what they expected, although I'm sure they expected a certain amount of regulatory scrutiny, closed last year, towards the end of last year. And we've been hearing all sorts of stories, both direct stories, anecdotal stories, things on message boards about the price increase. And what I thought I would kind of dig into, and this is really sort of me trying to understand the mindset of a gigantic company, their decision, kind of the context around the decision they made to make such a huge price increase in such a short period of time for something that is so critical. And, you know, our friend of the show, Brandon Wichert over at Software Defined Talk, who's been on many, many times, you know, is sort of always said, you know, VMware is one of those technologies that he expects will probably never go away in the enterprise. It is so embedded. It is so, part of what they do day to day. There are so many applications that rely on VMware virtualization. And I agree with that. It is a wildly popular technology, widely deployed technology. So I'm really, really interested to sort of try and dive in a little bit or try and analyze the mindset of, you know, the price increases they've made and sort of what that means from the impact perspective of competitive, as well as what it means if you are a end customer of VMware now trying to deal with that and thinking about what that means to your overall IT budget, what it means to your relationship with the vendor that you had previously that you may have had a very different relationship with before. So going to dig into all that right after the break. And we're back. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to dig into kind of what's going on with the Broadcom price increases for VMware. And again, there are a bunch of links in the show notes if you want to get into the details of what the price increases are. Some folks who have spent a bunch of time doing analysis of it. I'm not going to necessarily spend a ton of time. I will highlight a few things throughout that are pretty well known or out in the public and so forth. But let's go over the basics first. So Broadcom acquired VMware, I think it closed towards the end of last year, 2023, for in the high $68, $69 billion, I believe was the final number. And Broadcom has been, you know, very forthright, very transparent about how they run their business, how they run their lines of business, the business metrics that they expect, the level of profitability they expect, and you know how they go about trying to reach the key metrics that they use, whether it's revenue per employee or market share position or just whatever it might be, profitability levels. And so they've been very transparent about that. And I think we've had a number of shows that talked about, you know, given where they are and given where VMware was at the time of acquisition, these are the likely things that are going to happen. They are going to likely increase prices over time. They are likely going to, dismiss a number of employees, which they've gone about doing. They're likely going to shed or sell off or whatever a number of businesses that weren't anywhere near or product lines that weren't anywhere near those financial metrics. And so they've gone about doing all those things, and those are all well documented. I'm not here to sort of rehash those. We've talked about them on previous shows. But what I'm really interested in, and I think some of this is one of those where you can expect certain things to happen. You can see certain things or anticipate certain things are going to happen. But then when they do really happen, or if they're actually, different than what you had expected, you start to, kind of go, oh, okay, wow, these are the real ramifications of what they are. As I think about it, and what's really sort of fascinating to me, and maybe part of this comes from, watching shows like Succession or Billions or others in which you get a little bit of an insight, and granted they are, dramatic characterizations of, what it's like to be inside the mind of very, very large, powerful corporations, or inside the mind of the leader of a very, very large, powerful, wealthy corporation. And what's really interesting to me is if I think about if I was in the shoes of the CEO of Broadcom, I think to a certain extent they probably looked at this and, while VMware is a tremendous business or was a tremendous business, granted it was going through some competitive challenges with the public cloud and so on and so forth, but had been a tremendous business for a long time, was cash flow positive. You could argue, Broadcom essentially is arguing like they could have been significantly more positive in terms of profitability and so forth, but had built a great business, had great traction, was generally, of the really widely deployed technologies and companies, really beloved by their customers. Oftentimes, when technology is widely deployed, at some point they stop being beloved by their customers because the customers feel like they're being taken advantage of in terms of pricing. So whether that's, like Microsoft Office always felt like something that was a gigantic bill that people didn't love, or maybe Oracle pricing or others. I'm not trying to point out any one particular company, but the VMware was sort of generally universally loved by the people that were running the technology, all those sorts of things. In essence, Broadcom is sort of made a bet, and they looked at their business and they said, yep, they are beginning to look like the types of businesses we acquire, which is widely deployed, doesn't seem like the technology is going anywhere. Companies still rely on the technology. And I think to a certain extent, they made a bet that said, people have been competing against VMware for virtualization for more than a decade. And we could list out sort of a bunch of the competitive things. And I think they essentially made a competitive bet that said, nobody has upended them. Nobody has replaced them wide scale. They still have the same market share that they've had over time. Maybe they've grown it some, so on and so forth. And we don't think that if we owned them and we significantly raised the prices, that anything else would displace it, right? Their bet, in essence, was we think the technology is so embedded and so companies are so dependent on it and its tentacles in terms of being able to replace it, the complexities of replacing it or the importance of replacing it are so difficult that no matter what the price is, or this is ultimately sort of the essence of the bet they're making, is we would like to find the top end of what the price is that people would say, okay, I will consider an alternative, but you know, below that price point, I don't know that I would consider it. And it's interesting because in essence, if somebody had ever competed against VMware, and many companies have tried, you know, the discussion typically came down to a couple of things. Number one was companies who were, you know, had embedded VMware would say, well, you know, our people are trained on it. They've got skill sets on that. So that's not something that's easily replaceable. It is widely deployed in our business and it's highly important. It's mission critical. So that's always difficult to deploy and replace. And then they would list out a long list of features that they would say, well, these are all the important things that we use in the technology. And hence, if you were even going to try and replace it, this would be the starting point list, right? So, you know, and being the incumbent VMware, if there ever was a competitive threat, would in essence come along and say, well, you know, if you think that you could replace us, and even if it's 80% of the feature set, you know, we will lower the price, or we'll adjust the price. You know, we'll manipulate the contract in such a way that you look at it and you go, you know, even if the VMware price is higher than the replacement and you're trying to save cost or whatever it is, the overall cost is still going to be, you know, too high for you to make a change. And that was, you know, that was a very healthy place for VMware to be from a competitive perspective in the business. And I think Broadcom ultimately looked at it and they said, we are going to make a bet on that. In fact, we're going to bet even more significantly that we think there is very little ceiling to what we could raise the price to in order to, you know, we want to acquire that asset. And then we think we can raise the price such that people essentially have no choice to make a change. And that's the bet they're making, right? They're ultimately making a bet, and we've seen, you know, price increases. And again, I'm not sort of speculating, these things are out there in the public domain. You can find them on Reddit and various message boards and, you know, all sorts of places in the news and so forth. Anywhere price increases from 3x to, in some cases, 10x. And where that ultimately comes from is not just raising the price of the license. In essence, VMware was a perpetual license. So you bought a license at some point, some quantity at some point in time. And then on an annual basis, you would buy support, ongoing support for that perpetual license. So you owned the software in perpetuity, or a license of the software in perpetuity, and then you would pay a fee every year, so essentially a services and support fee, oftentimes 20%-ish of the overall cost, in order to be able to get support, but also get patches and things like that, right? And Broadcom essentially made two bets. They made the bet that we could switch people from a perpetual license to a subscription license, which is, you know, very much the norm in software these days. So they weren't making a bet of unusual, you know, having to bend the customers in strange ways, right? You know, software licensing, moving to subscription or being subscription is not unusual. Now, the difference is, in essence, you pay the full price of the software every single year, as opposed to paying like the 20% renewal fee or subscription or support fee every year, right? So that's where the biggest change came. And then the second biggest change came in that they you know, did a number of bundling things that many enterprise companies do, in which they bundled big chunks of the portfolio, you know, sort of the enterprise package, if you will, into what the perpetual or what the subscription price looked like. So you had less opportunity or less incentive to buy the lower end stuff, because a lot of times the features that you wanted, the capabilities that you wanted maybe now or into the future, were now bundled into this higher end package, right? And again, neither one of those were really unusual things, but they are, you know, things that for technology that has been around for so long, when the bill came in, and, you know, again, when the bill comes in as 3x and 10x, and you've got customers who are $10 million a year, $20 million a year, $40 million a year, VMware customers, you know, a 3x cost, a 5x, a 10x cost of something like that magnitude becomes interesting in terms of your overall IT budget. But that was the bet that they made. They essentially said, if VMware hasn't been replaced in 10 plus years, we don't think, you know, Broadcom essentially saying, we don't think they will ever be replaced. And yes, we are moving to this different subscription model, but we're also going to raise it to the point where we need to maximize this, because in essence, we have to pay down this $69 billion of funding, you know, how much of it's debt, how much of it's cash and so forth, all that's out there. But we need to pay this back, and we have need to pay it back in a fairly significant time frame. We need to therefore increase revenues around it. So it's, to me, it's a really interesting thing to dig into, because the bet from a business perspective is interesting in that, you know, like I said, you're betting that your customers won't leave because they have no ability to leave, right? The market, maybe in your perspective, has shown that they can't replace the technology, and your customers, you know, haven't, you know, aren't willing to change out the technology. Fair. It's a fair bet to make. But the flip side of it that's really interesting is, you know, the way that they've shifted their focus is, you know, they still have a number of smaller end customers, and those customers are dealing with it. But on the larger end customers, you know, the 2,000 or so that they sort of signaled to take direct and be, you know, sort of the large customers, the amount of increase is a significant amount of money. It's significant in terms of the overall budget that those companies have. And in essence, what you've said is, yes, we're going to maintain a relationship, but I'm going to take a big chunk big relative of the rest of your budget, right? Things that you've already allocated money for. That could be for future projects. It could be for maintenance of existing things. But in essence, they've said, we're also going to put other parts of your business at risk because of the amount of budget increase that we're taking, or that we're asking. And so it creates a really interesting situation of, like I said, what was a very friendly relationship in many cases to one that becomes very adversarial. Because if you are a CIO or you are a SVP of some division, and all of a sudden you didn't expect $20 million of your budget to not be there, or $50 million or $10 million or $5 million or whatever that might be, and you have to now look at other things that the rest of your business is completely relying on, that ultimately your customers are relying on from a technology perspective, and to say, we probably have to get rid of those. We have to take those away, or we have to diminish them in capability such that this one transaction, this one relationship is going to be detrimental to your business, right? So it ultimately is a really interesting sort of chicken and egg that's going on here, is that one of your vendors has a significant financial situation that they need to try and address in terms of the $69 billion acquisition and the, you know, the timing of that. We'll get into that in a second. Versus the stability of the underlying technology for your business. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you were paying a significantly higher bill for some piece of technology in your business, that might be okay if you are getting significant benefit out of it, significant new benefit out of it, not just significant maintenance. And that's the other part of this bet that's going on, is in essence, they're saying, I want you to pay me significantly more, whether or not you can guarantee that there won't be yet again another price increase in 1 year, 3 years, or 5 years, who knows, right? Nobody can predict the future. But for this one piece of technology, it needs to be significantly more. You're really not going to get significantly more in terms of capabilities, because for the most part, you know, other than maybe some of the Tanzu capabilities that maybe you were using or not, and market share numbers were saying they weren't widely used, you know, in essence, you were just getting what you already have. So you were getting, from a value perspective, less, right? People weren't, you know, deploying tons of new VMware innovation, tons of new in VMware, you know, capabilities. It was compute, storage, and networking, which is, you know, again, widely deployed. But and you were going to have to risk a chunk of the rest of your business as to whether you could pay for it again. And so it does create a really interesting new customer dynamic. Now, the other thing that's really interesting about this, and the timing of it is really interesting, I suspect at some point, and I don't doubt that the Broadcom acquisitions team are incredibly sophisticated. They've done tons of acquisitions and done it at very large costs and so forth. But I suspect the timing of things didn't necessarily have a prediction that AI would be changing the world in 2023, 2024. And the reason I bring that up that makes this really interesting is that so many companies are trying to figure out their AI strategy. And Aaron and I have talked about this, you know, a bunch on the show, and we'll probably continue to talk about it a bunch in 2023, 2024, 2025. And because the cost of AI is still somewhat unknown, right? There's not sort of a, you know, oh, if you want, you know, this level of AI, it's going to be this much. And if you want 2x this, it's going to be this much. People are still figuring out what those costs are. There's still a lot of experimentation and building models and hiring data scientists and all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of companies that are having to move budget or are purposely moving budget to AI projects. And again, this wasn't necessarily something that had been planned in 2023, 2024, right? They're sort of going, hey, the market's moved, the competitive nature of the world has moved. We need to, you know, move some priorities around. And so now many companies, most enterprise companies, if you will, are sort of now looking at, you know, sort of a twofold problem. On one end, they're having to move budget that they didn't expect to move into AI projects. And we've heard, you know, all sorts of things of, you know, how much that is, but we know that they are moving kind of unexpected dollars into AI projects, and probably will for 2024, 2025. You would expect if they're successful, 2026. And then they're now facing on the other end of the innovation spectrum, you know, a big bill, a 3x, 5x, 10x bill from Broadcom for their VMware spend, at the same time they're having to do that. So, you know, the AI piece isn't necessarily, you know, driven by Broadcom. It's just the timing of it is challenging in terms of you're making this bet, you're increasing the price at such a significant level, and you're now having to put the CIO in yet another difficult situation of going, am I trying to be a partner that makes your business successful, or am I having to think about myself first, your business first, which obviously every business leader has to do to a certain extent, because the time is ticking on them being able to execute this $69 billion merger and deal with the fact that interest rates have gone up somewhat since the merger started and sort of executed. So there's a lot of interesting pressures in this. And so that's the piece that sort of fascinates me as I think about, you know, the typical sort of Sunday perspective of let's look at something in the context of why did it happen? What's going on? And the interesting piece about this is all sort of happening in real time. And, you know, again, it feels, you know, an acquisition doesn't by any means feel unprecedented. A highly leveraged acquisition doesn't by any means feel unprecedented. We've seen this happen hundreds of times, at least just in the history of the Cloudcast. But to see the price increase in such a short period of time, like I think about, for example, the Dell acquisition of EMC and VMware, or the IBM acquisition of Red Hat, or, you know, any really big acquisition that's happened, I don't recall, and I'm trying not to have selective memory, but I don't recall there ever being such a significant price increase. And I kind of wonder, you know, is that because, going back to Brandon Wichard's original comment, like, is VMware so sticky? Is it, you know, is it in the top five sticky technologies in history in terms of the enterprise? Maybe. And that's ultimately the bet, is that, you know, Broadcom does not believe that people can replace it. And it's interesting to watch the level of ramping up of the competition in terms of going and saying, you know, in the past, maybe the pricing was not something that we could differentiate on or make a point of contention, because maybe that sort of leveled itself out. But it's going to be really interesting over the next year plus to see how many companies have to bite the bullet and take the new pricing. Do they have any options to do it at 1 year so that they continue to allow themselves the flexibility to find alternative choices? Are they forced into like 3-year contracts or even 5-year contracts, maybe at some discount level? In which case, if they're dragging this on for 3 to 5 years, there's a good chance that just becomes the new normal in their business and they, you know, have to cut back in a bunch of other areas, again, impacting the business potentially. Or, you know, do we begin to see a number of companies who say, this is not a long-term business relationship I'm willing to have with a vendor who previously I had a good relationship with. It will be interesting to see, you know, how this impacts, you know, other stuff, but ultimately it boils down to a really interesting thing of Broadcom saying, I don't think our technology is replaceable. And what seems like, you know, putting themselves in a kind of a perilous relationship with their customers because of the level of increase they're placing on them. And then the timing of it is, you know, maybe not ideal in terms of trying to place pressures on new pressures on customers, given the other things that they have priorities for and, you know, things they're either going to have to cut or have priorities for. So I think it's a really sort of interesting moment in time. It's a really interesting real-time thing to watch of somebody making a bet, betting that the odds are in their favor, maybe or maybe not thinking about the long-term consequences of it. Maybe they are. I'm sure they believe they are. But just thinking about the situation that CIOs are now basically put in, especially kind of between the two ends of the spectrum of, you know, infrastructure modernization. It's not really modernization, it's just infrastructure price increases versus the desire to bring AI capabilities to their business and the potential of what that means, and being stuck in the middle of these two fairly big things pulling at their budget in different directions, and then having to figure out like what's going to fall out of the bottom of that. Because, you know, while IT budgets may be increasing, you know, 2%, 3%, whatever Gartner has predicted for the year, I think they're positive for the year. There's not enough to go around. And it will be very interesting to sort of see what this does in terms of larger budgets, in terms of vendor relationships, in terms of new vendor relationships potentially, and just in terms of overall perspective on a technology and a company that had previously been in a very positive light. You know, now the dynamics of it are just radically, radically changed. So going to be very interesting to watch. Again, it's a perspective. And again, in full transparency, this was not intended to be a, you know, beat up on Broadcom or beat up on VMware podcast. It was just, you know, me being kind of fascinated, again, trying to think about the mindset of a situation of power and trying to figure out, you know, what choices they make in terms of short-term choices versus long-term choices. So hopefully this was interesting to you. Hopefully we'd love to sort of hear your stories of if you are in this situation, kind of what you're doing to think about it. Because again, you know, every choice has downstream consequences, upstream consequences. You know, every choice is going to lead to another choice. So again, very interested in how people are, companies are dealing with this, because it's interesting to watch it in real time. So with that, I'll wrap it up and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.